He doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing, because as high as heaven is above the earth, that's how large God's faithful love is for those who honor him. And as far as east is from west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that's how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor him. Because God knows how we're made. God remembers we are just dust. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Steve.
So as I mentioned early on, we're starting a new series today called Selfies. And we're going to be kind of juxtaposing through this series how we see ourselves versus how God views us. And as I demonstrated with the kids, there's kind of a modern craze going on called selfies. How many of you have ever taken a selfie of yourself? Hey, see, that's the key about a selfie is you have to be in the picture. Most of us are used to a camera where you stand behind it and you take a photograph of an object out in front of you. But in the selfie craze, you have to be in the photo yourself. So I did this with Chapel. I'm going to do it with you as well. We're going to take a picture of all of us in worship today. That way, when you tell all of your friends you were in church, you'll have proof. Right? You can just go to Jim's Facebook page. So here's how we have to do this. All of you back there in church, hopefully I can get all of you. Let's go up here. All right, everybody say good morning. There we go. Well, that'll do. Choir, let's get together real quick. We're going to do one with you too. I know, preachers and their silly ideas, right? You know, so here we go, everybody. Everybody in there? Say good morning.
Good morning.
That's a pretty good picture. You know, the interesting thing is most of you probably know this. They actually make a stick that you can put your phone on so you can project the phone out this and get a much broader picture. I was going to go get one of those yesterday, but I didn't even make it out of the house. So no selfie stick today. It'd probably be the only time I'd ever use it too, because I'm not into that. But I'm going to post all of those later on my Facebook page. You can go out and look at all the different pictures today. Here's the rationale behind that little exercise. The normal of the world is changing around us. Did you get that? What was normal at one time is changing around us. Do you remember where the family photos used to be kept? Besides in a box or in an album? On a hallway wall. You could go to someone's house and there would be this wall that would just have all of these family photos all over it. You could see the lineages along through time. That was where we posted our family photos. Public photos were usually in the post office and you didn't want your photo there, right? Amen? None of us wanted to be at the post office. Now it's prevalent in our culture for everybody to have a picture put up of themselves and others in the very public sphere of our multimedia kind of culture that we are in. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of these different kinds of platforms on the internet allow us to instantaneously share photos of others and ourselves. The selfie kind of culture that we have engaged in. But you know, there's a class of us out here who would rarely, if ever, even do that. And it's not because of skill or lack of knowledge. It's because we have a different image of ourselves. And we would not put ourselves out in public because of that. One of the things I would like for us to focus on as we think about selfies is this negative kind of self-image that so many of us carry, because we know the cracks and the faults that are the imperfections in us, body, mind, and soul. We're so attuned to those that they're our reality that we live into. And we're afraid that we cannot change them or alter them, so we're not going to put ourselves out there in the public sphere. We view ourselves so negatively. What I would tell you, though, is I do not believe that that's God's perspective of each and every one of us. I actually think God has a different image in mind, and God sees us differently than so often how we see ourselves. Walter Brueggemann, who is one of the preeminent theologians of our modern time, he's one of our preeminent thinkers and interpreters, wrote a book called Prophetic Imagination. And in the book, he says that a prophet does two things. A prophet comes to critique things as they are, usually in an individual's life or in a social circumstance. That's what the prophets critique. But they also bring with them a new imagination, a vision of something different that God has spoken into them. And it's the image that God has in mind and wants to be lifted up. So this series is about prophetic imagination. It's to proclaim to every single one of us that God sees us, yes, as we are, but also as how we can be. As God's creation. To reshape our selfies from maybe the negative perspective that we hold on to one that's empowered for this purpose, so that we might also reshape the culture around us. And I think all of us would agree that the culture around us needs a little bit of help and some reshaping. It needs some new voices to come into it. With a godly perspective of what life can be like in community and individually. So let's think about it today from the aspect of how we view ourselves negatively. We view ourselves as broken, but God sees us as a whole person. Would you all agree with me that we live in a throwaway culture? Right? We throw things away in our culture. You know, if it's broken beyond repair, what do we do with it? We throw it away, right? If we can't fix it, we throw it away. It's like tear in the fabric. We donate it. If it's not up to our standards, we rip it out and we replace it. If it's not good enough for us to use, we give it to someone else, maybe, who can get some use out of it. There's an old preacher joke about a butterball turkey. You want to hear it? Why not, right? Maybe you'll even laugh at the end of this. All right? There's an old preacher joke about a butterball turkey. There was a lady who was coming to the holidays, and she got into her deep freeze, and she was rooting around to see what she had in her deep freeze, and she found this turkey that had been buried in it for a really long time. She had forgotten she had this turkey. So she took it out of her deep freeze, and she pondered a moment, I wonder if I can even cook this. I've had it for a really long time. So she flipped it over and found the 1-800 number to Butterball Turkey and called their customer service. The person on the other end, heard her story and said, well, I'm not real sure about that because this is the first time I've ever heard this. So let me do a little investigating if I can for a moment. And so she put her on hold. And a few moments later, the person comes back and he says, well, ma'am, I've checked with my partners and we really don't think that you should cook that turkey. It probably isn't going to be all that good. It's probably going to be really dry and not very tasty. So we'd recommend something as an alternative to that. Go get a new turkey. The lady said, okay, great. That sounds like really good news. I'll go get another turkey and I'll just donate this one to the church. You think about that culture. We can't use it. We either dispose of it or find somebody else who we think might. We live in a throwaway culture. And I would say that includes humans as well. That sometimes we can see ourselves and others as disposable objects. Things that we can simply throw away or discard. You think about it from the image that you might carry of yourself as broken. And sometimes when we think of it as broken, we also put in there the terms and the qualifiers of useless. If I'm broken, I'm useless. We're disposable because we have no value. No one can love me. No one could be devoted to me. Might be the language that we hear in our heads. We see the imperfections. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not rugged or handsome enough. And we see our inabilities. especially in a culture that drives itself off excessive cultural demands for achievement and advancement, how easy can we have a negative image of our own abilities? Too often, I would say, we see ourselves in this distorted self-image that is fostered and bolstered by a broken and distorted culture. Think about what you saw in the mirror this morning and what your opinion and your perspective was. I've discovered recently that I have my Grandpa Junior's eyebrows. They require a lot of maintenance. Maintenance I'm not used to and may not necessarily be comfortable with. I've also noticed that as I get into the 50s, I'm starting to gain some wrinkles that weren't there a few years ago. I could probably use a lifestyle lift maybe or something like that. My love handles aren't shrinking as fast as I would like to, even though I'm trying to exercise. There are all these surface things that every single one of us, when we look in the mirror, we can point out and we will judge ourselves about. But we also know what's in our own hearts and souls as well. Think about what you saw in the mirror this morning. If you took out your phone and you took an image, a photo of yourself, a selfie, would you put it out in the public sphere? How do you view yourself? And I think it also goes a little bit beyond just what we see in the mirror. We can think of ourselves in the image of how we are in relationship with our parents, our spouse, our children, the social constructs that we find ourselves in friendships and acquaintances. We judge ourselves based upon our performance at work and at school and other places. And sometimes our selfie isn't very pretty. But you know what? As I said early on, I do not believe that God sees us the way we see ourselves. Praise God that God sees us differently than we see ourselves. And that's what the psalmist is trying to remind us of as the psalmist writes. This psalm in particular, Psalm 103, was written to a broken community of people. They had existed as exiles and they were trying to figure out in their brokenness, where was this God and what was this image that God had in mind for them? The title says, of David. It's a tribute to David. And what modern scholars and many agree is that the Psalms were not all written by David. They were written by multiple authors over different centuries, and they speak to a variety of communities. They are individual, and they are communal in nature. And so this superscript of David means to be written in the vein of or in the style of David. But it's by a particular audience of people, the exiles, and their understanding of how God viewed them. See, they saw themselves as broken. They saw themselves as broken in their relationship with God and their temple because they were no longer in Jerusalem worshiping God as they had been commanded and formed to do. They saw themselves as broken in their relationship with the land of covenant and promise because now many of them are exiles outside of the land. They saw themselves as broken in their relationship with one another, as God's covenant people that should have been formed in community for a particular purpose, but now are fragmented into the diaspora. They see themselves as broken. But the psalmist wants to paint a different picture for them. In the words of Brueggemann, the psalmist was bringing prophetic imagination in this moment and proclaims that God sees the exiles differently. This God of Moses who promised to be steadfast and faithful to the idolatrous people at Mount Sinai was still steadfast and faithful to his exiled people. God loved them and had not abandoned them, and that mercy could restore them back to this wholeness that God had in mind for them. The psalmist proclaims all of this is possible, and all of this would create a community that would eternally praise God. The psalmist says it all, and hopefully says it all for us, that the power of God's love proclaimed in these words by the psalmist is simply that love can be so powerful that it can smooth over the cracks in our lives. That love can be so empowering that it can cause us to go out and do the work of God in the world as God has intended us. And that God's love is so powerful that we can, each and every one of us, see the value of who we are as an individual and purposeful person of God. You see, I think when God looks upon every single one of us, God does so through this lens of steadfast love and mercy. That God sees something different in every single one of us than what we see. God sees our wholeness. And that's the godly imagination for today. Now, for many of us, though, there's kind of a gap there. There's the gap between God's image of wholeness and our image that needs to be closed today. And maybe that gap for you is the image around love and whether you're worthy of love or not. I did a simple web search this week on those three words, worthy of love. Over 6 million different web search results came back. 6,860,000 to be exact. And it's a variety of forms and fashions in which people are trying to converse about our worthiness individually of love in our lives. Books on meditations and reflections regarding this individual worthiness of love. Websites that are dedicated to the devotions and reflections, lifting up this understanding of all of us and our worthiness to be loved. One of them was actually dedicated solely to women. And you think about our own book of discipline. It says that every single one of us is a person of sacred worth to God. All of us are worthy of love, but it may be stuck in our head that we're not worthy of God. What God wants each and every one of us to know today is that God loves you in spite of the image that you might carry about your own worthiness. Or it may not be love. It might be more on the abilities end. You might see yourself as someone who has no talent, nothing to offer, especially when it comes to God and comes to church. You think about Moses and the conversation that Moses had with God. God calls Moses to the mountain. He sees a burning bush. And God says, I'm going to send you to deliver the people, to pronounce this message of deliverance. And what does Moses say? Oh, yeah, sure, God, send me on my way. What does he say? Del, do you remember? Send somebody else. Because why? He had a speech impediment. Moses says, I stutter. I can't speak on your behalf. I don't speak plainly. I don't speak clearly enough. You send me to Pharaoh, I'm going to embarrass you and myself. Don't send me. But yet in God's own imagination, God knew that there was a way in which Moses could serve God's purposes that were far beyond what he saw in his own abilities. And that's the same for the context of the church. We think of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, how every single one of us are empowered by the Spirit to do something of particular purpose within the church that's beyond what we could even conceive as our own abilities. No one's left out. All are gifted by God because God sees us with a different imagination than we see ourselves. And together as a community of faith, through our spiritual gifts, we can accomplish what God has in mind for us. It just means we have to see some things differently. The prophet Isaiah once said, a people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And I think that's the power of God's love on display for every single one of us today. That is the imagination of God at work. That God sees beyond our brokenness and the possibility of our wholeness. And that God wants to take us out of the darkness of our negative selfies and move us into the light of God's new imagination for all of us. And the psalmist proclaims that God has the answer for all of us. No matter what false negative image we perceive ourselves as, God sees us differently. Not as broken, but as whole. If we would live into the proclamation of the psalmist, what would be our response? And how would we live? You see, that's what God desires for us today. If there's anything I think that's disposable today, it's that selfie of brokenness. To cast it aside, to get rid of it, and to let God re-image for you how you see yourself. to see yourself as a whole person in the love and the grace of God. So here's what I hope you take away from our conversation today. A couple things just simply to remember and hang on to. Many of us are predicated to center in on that negative self-image. We focus on our own brokenness. But the psalmist takes a moment to praise God who sees us differently. God who can make us whole as a person and as a community. And that when we are made whole individually and communally, we can have a positive effect on the culture that is around us. We can see the world transformed as God has transformed us. So here's your invitation for today. In our time of prayer, as you think about this, and you maybe consider this yourself, maybe wrestle with your own selfie today. What element of your brokenness has captured your imagination? Could you identify it? Name it. And in our time of prayer, could you ask God to replace your broken selfie with God's new image? To let you see what the possibilities are from this day forward. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? So, God, in this moment, we do come before you. And we consider, maybe just for a moment, how it is that we view ourselves. How often it is that we focus in on the things that are absent. The things that are broken. The things that are negative. And how that can become how we see ourselves all the time. We are thankful, O God, for the proclamation that you do not see us as we see ourselves. Through your lens of a new imagination, you see us in our wholeness. Through your steadfast love and mercy, through your grace that is ever present, you see the possibility of who we can become. O God, help us to focus on that image today. And through it, may you make us whole. And, oh God, we ask that in that, as we become whole, we pray that you might use us for your purposes, that we might reshape our community, our neighborhood, and our world beyond. May all come to praise your name for all time, for all eternity. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.